Father, I pray that you would bless the word now. Cause your word to come alive for all of our hearing, that we would hear what you have for each one of us, and that we would leave here with a greater sense of having had an encounter with you that's personal as well as corporate. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here, that you're moving. Thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you thank the Lord for our worship team? Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you're joining us by way of live stream, we want to welcome you and let you know that I'm glad that you've got online. If you're not here in the room, and I would prefer that you're here, but that's okay. I'm just hoping that you are logging on, that you're able to hear this word as well. And for those that may hear it at a later time, I hope that this word encourages you. I want to continue to talk about the thought that I started about 2 weeks ago. I've been gone a couple of weeks, and I want you to know that I miss being here. I'm grateful for the assignment God has given me apostolically to work with other churches and other ministries, but I miss being here. I miss being home. So it's good to be home. It's good to see all of you. Good to see all of you up here today. Come on, bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus, and we all need him the same. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus the same. Hallelujah. I'm reading from Jeremiah. I want to read this as foundational, and then I want to move back into this thought. In Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at verse 4, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me," talking about Jeremiah, "saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Say, seen well. You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. I want to continue to talk about breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations. Hallelujah. The phrase, if you will, that I have shared and will continue to share relative to self-imposed limitations is this. Self-imposed limitations are limits that have been set based on the way you think about yourself and your surroundings. They are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, pulled down, reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. Look at the screen, and I want you to read it with me just to get it out of your mouth into the air. You ready? Here we go. Self-imposed limitations are limits. Okay, so can we kind of get this cadence going here? I know some of us read faster or slower than others, but okay, so I'm going to set the cadence, and you all say it right with me, all right? Here we go. Self-imposed limitations, limits that are set based on the way you think about yourself or your surroundings. They are usually thoughts of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. They are thoughts that lead to feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, and insecurities. They are thoughts and feelings that once brought down, pulled down, reveal that the basis for them was false and unfounded. Hallelujah. So in reading this passage out of Jeremiah, and there's a few others that I want to reference as well, but the reason why I read this about Jeremiah is because there's something that I want all of us to really get and recognize. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Meaning that before Jeremiah even got here, God had a plan for his life. Before he was even born, God had called him. And I want to submit to you that it is the same for you, that same for me, that before we got here, God already had designated, this is who John will be. And this is what I'm gifting him to do. And this is what I have called him to do. Now you can use your name, put in your name, and recognize the same thing concerning you. And I want you to know that it doesn't matter what has happened in your life. What matters most is that you're able to really grab a hold of it in this season of your life. Because I believe in a God of restoration. I believe in a God of restoration. I believe in a God of reconciliation. I believe in a God of restitution. I believe in a God of healing. I believe that God is able to take everything and make it work for our good. And before we know it, our lives look nothing like what we've been through. I mean, some of you can testify of that right now. My life looks nothing like what I've been through. Hallelujah. Is that three of y'all out there? How many can say that? My life looks nothing like what I've been through. It's the testimony of the faithfulness of God, but I want you to know it's also the testimony of that word on the inside of you that's still alive, that's still working. Amen. Jeremiah's challenge is the challenge that many of us face in any given season of our lives, and that is self-imposed limitations. I want to tell you that self-imposed limitations can show up right at your moment of greatest breakthrough. Right at your moment of greatest promotion. Because if we're not careful, we begin to size up ourselves in light of what's being presented to us. Jeremiah is saying, I'm young, I'm a youth. And God says, don't say that to me. He says, you will say what I tell you to say. You will speak where I tell you to speak. And then it says, he put his word in his mouth. One of the things that he says to him, he says, see, I have appointed you. See, I have appointed you. What he's saying is, I need you to see what's been your reality all along. All right. In the spirit. In the eternal realm. I need you to see. And that's why in Ephesians, where Paul was writing, say, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you may see, what you may know what is the hope of your calling. Most times, if we're not intentional, we will live our lives saved. We're going to heaven, but we were never able to see past salvation. We weren't able to see past it into purpose and into destiny. And that's why the message of the kingdom is so powerful and relevant right now. Because it's helping people to understand it really is not about going to church. It's about being the church. But if you're not taught how to be the church, how to walk in places of maturity as believers, you can go to church all your life and have never really accomplished anything of any real significance that has to do with the expansion of or the advancement of God's kingdom. So he says to him, see, I have appointed you this day over the nations. He's saying, you got to see this. And you and I often cannot see, we will not see, until we have moved past the self-imposed limitations. Because those limitations are set based on the way you think, the way you see yourself. And at any given moment, you can be in that space of feeling inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. As a matter of fact, you just have to settle this in God. That there are things that he will call you and I to when we are least prepared. Okay. Okay. Come on now. A life of faith is not a safe life. You can't live in the space of safety and exercise your faith to its fullest potential. Just somebody say amen, even though you don't really like what I'm saying right now. Because they're all not smiling or anything. It's like, well, okay. But Keith, it doesn't work without it. Getting to the place where some of the steps we're going to have to take, we're going to have to step out of that place of safety and trust God that he's got us. Trust God that he's got me. Jeremiah is challenged because what he is being told, he's not able to see about himself. But God says, I need you to see this. I need you to see this. This is one of the reasons why often God will allow the prophetic word to come to you and I. Why? So we can see.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
But that's not enough. When we look down, he says to Jeremiah in verse 11, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see? Jeremiah, he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. Can I submit to you that God is still watching over his word to perform it in your life? That God is still watching over his word to perform it in your life? I know that oftentimes we look at ourselves and we think that I don't really have any sense of purpose, but everybody on planet Earth was born with purpose and destiny in mind. Before you got here, doesn't matter how you got here, purpose and destiny was set on the inside of you. That's a good time. I'm going to clap for myself right now. Because the challenge is when you don't have people around you who can see that, then you don't necessarily see that until God gets you in the right setting, gets you in the right space. And then all of a sudden, now he says, you've seen well, I am watching over my word to perform it. Once you see it, the word is activated. But let me ask you something. How many times is the word just dormant because you and I are operating out of a self-imposed limitation? Where you just keep saying, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared, I'm not ready, I'm not prepared. But that word is just sitting there, and God is watching over that word to perform it. We deal with the thoughts, the feelings of intimidation, fear of rejection, fear of failure, our own insecurities, and we mask those real well. But everybody's got them. We all got them. Some just get over them better than others, and others hide them better than others. But we all got them. We all have those insecurities that we have to navigate through. We have to deal with the thoughts and feelings about what it is that's before us if we're going to be able to step into the more, the greater that God has for us. If you were not raised in a setting where you were told that you have greatness in you. What's that one song, this one rap song, something, I got greatness in my DNA. What's that song? Come on, y'all. Jew, what is it? What's that song? What's that line? I got royalty inside my DNA. Come on now. Now I ain't promoting that rapper, whoever that is. I'm just saying, whoever that person is, if they saying that, we need to be saying that as believers. I got royalty in my DNA. I got royalty in my DNA. That's what it talks about in Hebrews 4 when it's saying the child, while he is a child, differs not from the servant, though he is owner of everything. He's saying he doesn't have an awareness yet that he has royalty in his DNA. I got royalty in my DNA. I came to earth with royalty in my DNA. Now life will try to make sure it's never known, make sure it's never seen, make sure it's never realized. Because out of that royalty is greatness. And out of that greatness causes you to step forth in purpose and in destiny. Some of you, God has done incredible things in your life and you're still guessing about it. You're still second guessing yourself. I'm telling you, that's self-imposed. You need to get over it. I'm just going to look out the door there so nobody think I'm talking directly to them. But I see a few faces flashing before me right now. Living far beneath our means. Living way beneath because of self-imposed limitations. Because of self-imposed limitations. Because of self-imposed limitations. He says, what do you see? It's important. It's important what you see. It's important what you see. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Who do you see? Do you see yourself as a failure? Or do you see yourself as an overcomer? Now I know we got to get up and brush our teeth and comb our hair and all those kind of things. But I'm talking about the real you. Do you look in the mirror and you start talking to yourself? Today's going to be a great day. I'm called to do great things. And you begin to talk to your body that's aching and your body that's got to get itself together. Oh, you will function today. You will function today at this highest level. Because I got things to do. And right now, you're the only earth suit I got. So I'm doing all I can to take care of it until it's time to go. But until that time, you're going to cooperate. I'm talking about getting past the self-imposed limitations. You think you're not tall enough. You think you're not pretty enough. You think you're too dark. You're too light. You think you're too old. You're too young. Now, come on, y'all. Ain't nobody saying anything, but I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. All the things that you think can be the limitations, God is saying, get it out of the way. When I formed you, when I framed you, I knew exactly what you would look like. Today, I knew exactly what you would look like. That's God. I knew you would gain a few pounds. I knew you would lose some hair. I knew your hair would turn gray. I knew you would dye your hair. I knew you would cap your teeth. I knew... It's all good. Don't be limited. Don't be limited. Don't allow yourself to be limited. So often the challenge that we have is we keep trying to assess, if you will, compare based on what we're looking at. And we're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking out here when you need to be looking up here. That your eyes stay solely on God. If I looked at all the stuff going on right now and didn't keep my focus, recalibrate my focus, not just daily, but multiple times throughout the day, multiple times in any given hour, it could be a really strange place right about now. Because all the while you're looking, the enemy's talking. And what we cannot allow ourselves to do is to get down on ourselves. If only. You can't live in the land of if only. You can't live in the land of, well, what about, what about, what about, what about? Can't do that. Don't go down that street. You don't want to live in Regret Hotel. Where you're dealing with regrets. You done checked in. You don't want to stay there. David said to Samuel, said to David, the prophet said to David, you can't stay in the cave of Adullam. You got to get out of it. You got to get out of it. Can't stay in that dark place. It will obscure your vision. Before you know it, you're seeing things inaccurately. Self-imposed limitations will cause you to see things inaccurately. And you'll keep missing. You'll keep missing out on what God has. Very often when God is calling you and I, he's not asking you to assess how it gets done. He wants you to just believe. That's why I love that song, Believe For It. You said it. I believe it. You said it. It is done. Now I know those are easy words to say, but that's where God wants his people, particularly in this hour. When you know that you've heard from God, you stand right there, you stay right there. Amen. And watch God work. Watch his word work. He said to Jeremiah, I am watching over my word to perform it. He says, the moment you see it, we can do something with it. But if you live your life in the space of, I just can't see it. I just don't know how that's going to happen. I can't see it. Guess what? It'll sit right there. That word will sit right there. But the moment you say, I see it, I believe it, and I'm staying right here until it happens, God can work with that. God will work with that. When Moses sent in the 12 spies, only two of them remained in that place of faith and kept their vision where it needed to be. 10 of them missed it. They got off in their focus. And they ended up assessing out of their self-imposed limitations. They were paralyzed by the curse of comparison, because they're comparing themselves by those that are in the land. God never said to them, see how you match up with those that are in the land. That's not what he said. He said, I just need you to go in and just bring back confirmation that what I told you is real. Mainly the blessings. He says, I'm going to handle the enemy. I'm going to handle the opposition. Hey, listen to me. And when you and I can recognize that and stay in that place, you move out of the place of your own self-imposed limitations and you focus on God and believe that he's handling that even while you're moving in that direction. Pastor Kelvin was talking about that today before we prayed. That sometimes he says, God says something, but he's waiting till it begins to come together. But in this dynamic of faith, things only move once you move. Certain things don't happen till you see it. Certain things don't happen until you say it. And hear me when I tell you this. It doesn't matter how hard it gets, because that's a trick of the enemy to make you believe that it really wasn't God. Don't get deceived with that. God spoke to Isaac and said, don't go back to Egypt. Stay here in this land. I'm going to bless you right here. Now, the scripture says that in that same year, he sowed and reaped 100-fold. But he also had to deal with opposition. Because when he dug a well, they came and took the rights for it. He dug another well, they came and took the rights for it. It wasn't until the third well that thing was settled. Yes, sir. And so you gotta know that in walking this out, you can't allow the enemy to move you to a space where you start second guessing. Is this God? Is this really God? Because it's gotten hard, because it's gotten difficult. I'm going back to Jeremiah now. Before Jeremiah came to earth, God put everything in him he'd have to have in him to withstand the opposition he would have to face as he began to speak the words that he was going to speak to the people of God. They were words of judgment. They were words of conviction. They were words of correction. See, when we read in Jeremiah 29, it's a great passage of scripture to read. We love to read that passage of scripture. I know the thoughts that I have for you, plans I have for you, good and not evil. But what we don't read is all of it. Where God says, now listen, you're going to be here for 70 years. And I can't remember whether he tells him the 70 years before or after he says, I know the thoughts I have for you, good and not evil. But he's saying, you're going to be here for 70 years. So you need to settle in. You need to build houses. You need to strengthen your families. And in 70 years, I'll come and get you. That's the word Jeremiah is given. It wasn't a word of, oh, yeah, I see you blessed and overflowing. I see increase coming to you. I see cars. I see houses. I see lands. I see airplanes. Okay, I'm putting it in our vernacular right here, right about now. Okay? No, he's saying you're going to have to suffer through some things now, but God's got you. And in 70 years, he's going to come back and get you. So you fast forward when you're reading in Ezra and the end of 2 Chronicles, where it says in Ezra chapter 1, when it says, God, in order to fulfill the good word spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. Now, check that for a minute. He says, in order to perform the good word. What is good about being in captivity for 70 years? What's good about having to go through some trial? What's good of having to go through a season of discomfort, having to go through a season of correction, having to go through a season of obscurity? What's good about it? Well, if God ordained it, there's a whole lot of good that'll come out of it if you and I don't rush the process. I'm going to clap right there. Yeah. Yeah. If we don't rush the process, men, if we don't rush the process. Church, if we don't rush the process, he says, I'm going to come back and get you. And you have to know this, that God is marking time. He's looking at his heavenly Rolex. It's about that time. Yeah, I told him in 70 years. He's marking off the calendar. I told him in 70 years. At the end of 70 years, it says, in order to fulfill the good word spoken by Jeremiah, God moves on the heart of Cyrus. Because the word that came to them as well is, when you come out, you will come out wealthy. You will come out with increase. And God spoke to Cyrus. Cyrus said, God has given me, he said, he's given me all the nations of the earth. And God puts in his heart, let his people go and bless them as they go. And so he sends out one decree after another, one edict after another, list after another. Make sure they get this. Make sure they get this. Make sure they get this. Make sure they have this. Now, when you and I are able to move through and past self-imposed limitations and live in that place of confidence concerning God's calling on our lives, things happen a whole lot faster. What blessing is being held up in your life? What increase is being held up in your life? What promotion is being held up in your life because of self-imposed limitations? You think because you're struggling, God's struggling? You think because you're challenged, God is challenged? Now we say no, but most of us, many of us oftentimes, we live right out of that space. God honors his word. God, I got so much here. I'm not going to get through all of it as much as I like. But I want to say, I moved the word forward for you brothers so you could hear it. Because I know y'all got to go sooner than later. But God told me to do this so that you could hear this word today. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves us. Okay? And I will continue to say, don't think your situation is necessarily any more dire than anybody else's in this room. Everybody's dealing with something. Some just dress up a lot nicer and carry it differently. But we're all still in process. We're all still in progress. Amen. Come on, thank the Lord. And so for the next few moments, let me give some quick references. So I referenced the 12 spies. I referenced recently Joshua as well. Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9. You can write that down. Put it on the screen. If you're taking pictures, just get a screenshot. We'll put the PowerPoint up on our website as well so that you can be able to refer to these and read it for yourself. But Joshua's self-imposed limitation came from his feelings of being inadequate, unprepared, and not ready to lead God's people. Joshua wasn't looking for promotion. Right. He's thinking Moses is still going to lead us. But Moses' issue was his anger. And I can only think how it broke God's heart to say, son, you can't go. I cannot let you do what you did in front of the people when they know what I said for you to do. And as his father, it broke his heart to say, son, you can't go any further. You did well to bring them here, but you can't go any further. Joshua wasn't waiting for promotion, but God sovereignly said, here's the change. God assured Joshua that he could do it and that he would be with him just like he was with Moses. I want to remind you that God will never, ever require something of you that he's not right there in it. Not right there in it. They're in it. Sometimes we feel like we're all by ourselves. And you need to know that's a trick of the enemy. You're never alone. We're never alone. I referenced Saul in Samuel. First Samuel, you'll see the scriptures there as well. With Saul, his challenge was he could never see who God intended for him to be. I believe that there are many believers, while they are set in a place, they still never see themselves in that place. And as a result of it, never really accomplish all that God intended. Saul's challenge was he wanted to be liked and seen in a certain light, in light of the people. That's a very bad self-imposed limitation. Because if your self-worth, your affirmation is wrapped up in what people think about you or how they talk about you, you're in trouble. Because everybody's not going to like you every day. Even in your own house. And so what do you do with that? You find your identity in God. You find your identity in Christ. And you live out of that space and out of that place. That's good. So you see, Saul thought so little of himself that when it came time for him to be set in place as king, he hid himself in the baggage. He conveniently made himself unavailable. And I'm going to share this. When you're dealing with self-imposed limitations, very often when God wants to bring increase to your life, and it could be a promotion or some other kind of way, if you are not careful, you can conveniently not be available.
Yes, sir.
But it's really self-imposed limitation. I need you to think about that for a moment. You get an invitation to be a part of something. You get an invitation to, do something. But something on the inside of you, you're not quite, you're uncomfortable about it because you didn't really plan it. You don't feel really prepared for it. So you conveniently say, I'm not available. I need you to think about it. I need you to go through your mental Google search right now and think about, have I missed some opportunities because of my own self-imposed limitations where I said I'm not available, where I said I can't do that? Thank you. I know I have. I know I have. And I have to recognize it's in that place of the self-imposed limitations. Limits that have been set based on the way I think about myself and my surroundings. That's caused there to be feelings of being inferior, inadequate, or unprepared. That's caused me to feel intimidated, to be fearful, fear of rejection, fear of failure. I don't even want to try it. Self-imposed. Those hidden insecurities that only you and God know about. We all got them. There's still some there. No matter where you are, no matter how successful you may have been, there's still some there. And what I have found is for every one of us, it's when we submit ourselves to God and every part of ourselves to God, and more particularly our view of ourselves to Him, He's able to help us see ourselves in light of how He created us. Going back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, before you were conceived, I placed royalty in your DNA. I called you great before you got here. That's why I love, every now and then I'm on Facebook and I'm listening to Les Brown. And Les Brown is saying, and if you don't know who Les Brown is, he's a motivational speaker. Okay? Les Brown, I knew Les Brown when he was a DJ in Columbus, Ohio. And watched God move him from that to serving in public office. And then he moved here and moved there and landed in a place on the speaking circuit. He is one of the most successful motivational speakers of our time. African-American man. Had a chance to meet him personally more than once. Sat up under his teachings early on in my teenage years. But one of the things he always says is, don't you know you were born with greatness on the inside of you? You were born with greatness on the inside of you. See, Saul didn't have anybody in his world to even begin to talk to him like that. So when Samuel comes to him and begins to talk to him as a man of favor, he's saying like, okay, he doesn't know that I grew up on the west side. I grew up on the hilltop. That's where I'm from, Columbus, Ohio, the hilltop. Now, the hilltop was basically, they called that the place where the crazy people were because the mental hospital was on the hilltop. How many of you be honest and say, yeah, where I grew up wasn't quite, notable either. However, I changed that. I'm going to say that again. Yes, it wasn't quite notable either, but you know what? I changed that. Yeah. I changed that. Yeah. Yeah. I changed it in me, and I changed it around me. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. Saul had to struggle through. He says, I'm of the smallest tribe. He says, why is he talking to me like this? With such favor. He constantly struggled with self-perception. And he always looked for ways to receive affirmation. When it was time for him to be crowned, the coronation, he's hiding in the baggage. They got to go get him. Now, how many know that's a good time to say, you just sit on down. You can't be the one. We want a king, but you can't be the one. But God says, no, this is the guy. But all of his life, he kept going after affirmation. See, that self-imposed limitation will keep you in a place of keep You keep needing to be fed. You keep needing that thing on the inside of you to be fed to keep you going. Instead of arriving in the place, hear me, instead of arriving in the place where you can hear like God the Father spoke to Jesus, his son, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You are my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Doesn't matter where you grew up. Doesn't matter that you didn't go to college. Doesn't matter that you didn't have this, that you didn't have that. Doesn't matter that you made this decision or that decision. I still see you the way I created you, but before you got here, everything is still on the inside of you. And can I tell you that it's in this season, much of it is trying to bust and get out. There's things on the inside of you that say, boy, I just wish they would just see themselves, just see themselves, just see themselves the way that I see them, just see themselves in light of who God created them to be. Because I'm a word that if I can get out,
come on.
Yeah. That's the word on the inside of you talking to you. If I can just get out. If I can get them to press through these self-imposed limitations. Saul fell because when Samuel spoke to him by God speaking to him and saying, it's time now to destroy Amalek. The reason why is because when the people of God came out of Egypt, Amalek was the first nation that came against them. They did not destroy them, but God said, I'm coming after you later. I'm telling you, God marks time. You hear me? God marks time. If you're still here, you're here for a reason. You need to figure that out, and you need to figure it out quickly. God marks time. And so God says, we're going to deal with Amalek later. So he comes to Saul. Now, this is Saul's opportunity to fulfill the word God spoke. And he says, now, Amalek, we're going to deal with Amalek. Destroy all of it. Everybody, don't leave one animal alive. Yeah. And when Samuel comes to Saul, he says to Saul, did you do what I said? Did you do what God said? Yes, I did. He said, well, why do I hear these sheep over here? They're supposed to be dead. And Saul says, because I feared the voice of the people. You see, self-imposed limitations will have you listening more to the voice of the people, more concerned about the voice of the people than obeying God's voice. And that day, the kingdom was taken away from him. So let me wrap this up here with a few thoughts here. When it comes to breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations, this is what we've got to understand. Self-imposed limitations really do have the ability to nullify any prophetic word you receive. That's what happened with Saul. Saul gets a prophetic word. However, his self-imposed limitations keep the word from ever really being fulfilled. You and I can hear a word in a season of our lives, but because we're dealing with self-imposed limitations, we don't receive that word from God. And so that word is nullified. It falls away. Secondly, when people are dealing with self-imposed limitations that produces insecurity, they struggle with accepting generosity being shown to them as being genuine and sincere. When you're dealing with self-imposed limitations, how you see yourself, you can never really believe that somebody would really love you for just who you are. When you're dealing with self-imposed limitations, you think you got to be the one that makes the loudest noise in the party. You think you got to be the best dancer. You got to be the one to bring attention to yourself because you want people to like you. And when somebody wants to be generous to you, and somebody wants to bless you, and someone wants to encourage you, you can't receive it as that. Because you're dealing with the self-imposed limitation. See, Samuel was given the directive to set Saul at the head of the table. He did just that. Bought him the best choice food. And Saul is struggling with, what is this? What is all this? Instead of saying, thank you, God. Thank you for blessing me. They struggle with accepting generosity. I don't struggle with accepting generosity. I just receive it. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Self-imposed limitations are strongholds in the mind. Your heart can be stirred by the word of God, but your mind can keep you from seeing the manifestation of that word. That's what happens week after week, Sunday after Sunday, in houses of worship all over the world. You come in, our hearts are stirred in the worship. Hallelujah. Don't want to miss this moment. And I mean, we're right there. We're right in. And if you could stay here all your life, you'd be good. But the fact is, you got to go outside and start your car and go somewhere else. And all the while you're riding, that which you have experienced, except that you are holding on to that for dear life, then you can leave out, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts start to come back. Well, you know, that word wasn't really for you. You know, you felt a certain way, but you still got to deal with this. You still got to deal with this. You still got to deal with this. This is still going on in your life. You still got to handle this over here. Self-imposed limitations. Your heart can be stirred. With Saul, the word of God says that he prophesied and said his heart was changed, but his mind wasn't changed. Next, self-imposed limitations are not broken by prophetic words, act of encouragement, promotions, positions, binding, or rebuking. You can do that all day long. But unless you got it figured out and you can do that Vulcan mind grip thing. Okay, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know that Vulcan thing where he could, yeah. That causes your mind to be immediately changed. It's going to be the working of the word. Self-imposed limitations can only be broken by the person who has imposed them. Why? Because they are self-imposed. You see, once you recognize this pattern is hindering me, this train of thought has hindered me all my life, you identify it, pull that thing down, replace it with the word of God and what the word of God has to say about you, only then can you walk free from it. And you keep walking free from it. Is this making sense to you? I'm almost done. I'm just moving through these points as fast as I can. When we talk about breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitations, so let me talk about self-imposed limitation characteristics real quick. So you'll see this next list. Yeah, this is how it kind of unfolds for us. Limited, small mindset. Limited, small. When you're dealing with self-imposed limitations, you can have millions of dollars and still think small. You can have blessings in your life, but you still think small. It comes out in your conversation. It comes out in the way that you handle certain situations. It's a self-imposed limitation. Other characteristics that I believe these are given to me by Holy Spirit, is distrust. You just don't really want to trust anybody. Maybe it's because you've been hurt. You've been disappointed. So you have this self-imposed limitation. Helplessness, hopelessness, fearfulness, small and insignificant. When you get a chance, I want you to read again 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13, where I've taught on the Mephibosheth mindset. Breaking the Mephibosheth mindset. Why is that important? The reason why it's important is because Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. He was the son of Jonathan. And when David decided that he wanted to find anybody left of the household of Saul that he could bless on behalf of his covenant with Jonathan, his servant said, I believe that there is someone down in Lodibar, Mephibosheth. David says, go get him. When he brings Mephibosheth Mephibosheth comes in, and the scripture says, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to move along here, and we're doing good, really. Yeah. So just stay with me just a few moments longer. Okay, 2 Samuel 9 says, then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now I need you to just pause right there and just say, thank you, Jesus. No, I mean, say it with some power. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Because all the goodness and kindness shown to you and I is for Jesus' sake. It's because of what Jesus has done for you and I. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, but thank God for the redeeming power of Calvary. And you and I now put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. David says, I need to find somebody just for Jonathan's sake. Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. The king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul that whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then the king sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodibar, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Now, I want you to understand this right here. You and I have the opportunity to deal with our self-imposed limitations so they're not passed on to generations that come behind us. See, if Saul would have received what God was saying to him, stepped into that place of being truly a powerful, godly king, Mephibosheth's life would have been totally different. Because now what Mephibosheth is dealing with is the same thing as Granddaddy dealt with. Is it possible that you're dealing with some things because they really were not addressed in previous generations? And if you happen to have children or grandchildren, come on now, let's just keep it real. Is it possible they're dealing with some stuff because you didn't deal with it? I didn't get as much amens out of that. You know, just... Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, there it is again, Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land that your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. Again, he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? Everybody just say self-imposed limitation. Now, passed down generations, he says it differently, but he's saying the same thing his grandfather said. When Samuel came to Saul and began to speak over him, he said, why are you speaking to me like this? When I'm in the smallest of all the tribes. Mephibosheth is dealing with unworthiness, distrust, helplessness, hopelessness, fearfulness, small, and being insignificant. It was manifested in low self-esteem, poor self-image, worry, anxiety, shame, poverty, lack. These are all the things that show up in your life and in my life when we are not addressing the self-imposed limitations. And if we're not careful, our self-imposed limitations affect not only generations within us, but affect the people around us as well. See, your self-imposed limitations can cause you to be envious of other people. Your self-imposed limitations can have you looking at somebody like, oh, it don't take all that. Yeah. Well, you're just saying that because you can't do that. Yeah. Or you wish you could do it. I know this message is probably for somebody else, y'all thinking. No, this is us. This is us. This is us. What I love about this passage with 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 13 is that you never see David responding to what Mephibosheth said. When Mephibosheth said, you know, when he makes the statement, he says, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? He didn't say, oh, Mephibosheth, come on, now don't feel that way. You're not like a dead dog. He didn't do that. Hear me now. Sometimes when we're dealing with self-imposed limitations, see, we need somebody to come and feed that. We need somebody to come and try to. No. God says, no, I ain't talking to you like that because I've never seen you that way. Let me say that again. God is saying, Father is saying, no, I'm not talking to you like that. I'm not talking to you about that because I've never seen you that way. That's your issue. And we're going to leave that issue right with you. I'm going to relate to you based on how I see you and the way that I created you. David, he never says anything about what Mephibosheth just said. It says this. Then the king, now this is right after he says that. Then the king calls Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and all his house, says, I have given to your master's grandson. Now, Mephibosheth's still thinking he's worse than a dog. Now he just hit the lottery. And it says this, you and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him. Talking about Ziba now. So he went from being down in Lodabar, they call it a dump heap, in poverty, as bad as it could be, to now being a multimillionaire, probably billionaire, owning property and employees. And you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, I love this. Nevertheless. Meaning there's more to this. Yeah, nevertheless. Meaning there's more to it. Nevertheless. I love that. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. His Father, if there's any way to remove this cup. Nevertheless. That's one of the translations. Father, if there's any way to remove this cup, then nevertheless. I remember a message that I did called Nevertheless, Always the More. Jesus said nevertheless because Jesus understands it. If I don't do this, it's going to be a whole lot less. And when Jesus came up out of that garden, he had settled it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus was so focused that when the guards came and got him, and Peter jumped into himself and cut off the ear of the guard, and Jesus stopped him and said, listen, you're messing up. I could call 12 legions of angels. I like to think about, like, all the while he's talking to Peter, he said, now the guy's ear is on the ground. He said, look, Peter, you messed up. I need you to stop it. I need you to hold on right now. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to die. Bless you. That's him putting his ear back on. Bless you. I'm going to die, Peter, but it won't be in this garden. Don't mess this up. Now let's go. Nevertheless, I love this. Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants who now became Mephibosheth's employees. And it didn't matter that Mephibosheth was lame, because all he had to do was get up to that table, put his feet up under that table, and nobody knows the difference. I'm here because I'm supposed to be. You're here because you're supposed to be. We're here because we're supposed to be. If the enemy can keep you from knowing and receiving the word of God for yourself, he can keep you from living in and enjoying your covenant rights. You must know that it is the renewing of the mind daily. Say daily. It is the renewing of the mind daily through the word of God that helps us to see ourselves in light of the redemptive work of the cross and who we are in Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may perform what is the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. It's in Ephesians 1 where it says, as I said earlier, where it talks about the eyes of our understanding being enlightened so that we can see ourselves in light of who he has created us to be and who he is. Lastly, it is the acknowledgement, acceptance, execution, and enforcement of the covenant that breaks the limited mindset. Let me say this again. It is the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the execution and enforcement of the covenant that breaks the limited mindset and gives immediate access, say immediate access, to wealth, resources, protection, power, favor, and blessing. That's exactly what happened for Mephibosheth. You see, all David was saying is, I just need you to acknowledge it. Accept it. I'm going to execute it. I'm going to enforce it. It is the acknowledgement, the acceptance, the execution, and enforcement of the covenant that breaks the limited, small mindset and gives immediate access to wealth, resources, protection, power, favor, blessing.
Thank you, Father.
See, I don't need it all at once. I just need to know that it's there. I don't necessarily need excess. I just need the access. There is a difference. It is the believing, listen to this, it is the believing that the word of God and the blood of Jesus are powerful enough to override anything in your past, present, or future that would oppose his plan for your life. That's how you break it. No guilt, no shame, no fear. Come on, say it. No guilt, no shame, no fear. No guilt, no shame, no fear. Come on, no guilt, no shame, no fear. No guilt, no shame, no fear.